name a great baseball player, who would you say? You know, you might say maybe Mickey Mantle or Hank Aaron. You might say Babe Ruth. Now, most of us know Babe Ruth, and he's the one that hit 714 home runs, and for the longest time, he was the home run king. For many years, he held the record until Hank Aaron broke it a few years ago. But most of us would say that Babe Ruth was a great baseball player. Did you realize that he struck out 1,330 times? He hit 714 home runs, but he struck out over 1,300 times. If you were to look at his strikeout record, you might say that he failed, but Babe Ruth was not a failure. If I was to ask you to name me a great football player, maybe a great NFL quarterback, you might say Peyton Manning, which he is the greatest NFL football player of all time. You might say Joe Namath or Drew Brees. You might even say Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw led his team to four Super Bowl championships, or to four Super Bowls anyway. I don't know if they won all four of them, but did you realize that Terry Bradshaw threw more interceptions than 99.9% of the players who ever played in the NFL? If you look at his incomplete pass record, you might say that Terry Bradshaw failed, but of course, we all know he was not a failure. If I were to ask you to name me a great president, you might say George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Ronald Reagan, and some of us might even say Abraham Lincoln. What do we call him? We call him Honest Abe. And yet, do you realize he lost eight elections? He failed in business twice, and he actually had a nervous breakdown. He failed like the rest of us failed, but Abraham Lincoln was definitely not a failure. And I want to take you back to the story in the Bible. It's a story of a disciple of Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus. He was a Christian, the son of God who failed, but who obviously was not a failure. You know, Jesus had been betrayed by Judas, and the story has taken place in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus has been arrested, and now he's at the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and he's on trial. The apostle Peter, he follows in a distance, and the story begins in Mark chapter 14, verse 66. It says, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. A little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." Imagine then if in just a few minutes, I was standing up here and a crazy man comes in the doors and he runs down the aisle and he pushes me off the pulpit up here and he pulls out a gun and he begins to wave it at everybody. And he points the gun at you and he says, "You deny Jesus or die." What would you do? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what I would do. You know, but we're all Christians. We should stand up for Jesus. We should stand up and say, "I believe in Jesus. Give Jesus your life." I know what Jesus taught in Matthew 10:3, where it says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will also I deny before my Father who is in heaven." And I know what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If that man held a gun to my head, I wished I could say, 'Go ahead and shoot me.' I wished I could say that, but I really don't know if I would or not." That's the question, and that's the situation Peter is faced with here in Mark 14. It must be a cold spring night because Peter is warming himself by a fire in the courtyard in the house of the high priest Caiaphas, and a girl a maid comes along and she looks at Peter and she studies his face and she says, I know who you are. You're one of the Jesus boys. And you know what Peter says? He said, who do you say, Jesus? I don't know who he is. What are you talking about? You're crazy. And all of a sudden in the background, a rooster crows. And a few minutes later, another servant girl passes by and she studies the face of Peter and says, haven't we met? I know who you are. You belong to the Jesus gang. You know what Peter says? He says, Jesus? Jesus who? I don't know Jesus. You're crazy. I don't know the man. And a little while later, those standing around the fire looking at Peter says, haven't we met? We know who you are. You're one of them. You're one of the disciples, aren't you? Somebody else says, yeah, I know that guy. I saw him in the garden just a little while ago. He's the guy that cut off the ear of Malchus. You're one of Jesus' boys. You belong to Jesus. You're one of the Jesus followers. And Peter gets angry and upset, and he begins to curse and swear. And all of a sudden, in the background, a rooster crows. Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And Peter remembers the words spoken by the Lord. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And Peter goes out and cries, and he weeps bitterly. You know, I don't know how you feel about it, but when I read this story, I get a little mad at Peter. Don't you get a little upset with him? Aren't you a little aggravated and disappointed in the apostle? We want to fuss at Peter, don't we? We want to take Peter and shake him and say, man, what in the world were you thinking? You're a disciple. For 3 years you walked with Jesus. You heard the sermons and you saw the miracles. We want to say to Peter, you were in the city of Capernaum when Jesus walked in your house and healed your mother-in-law. We want to say, Peter, weren't you at the house of Jairus along with James and John when Jesus said to that little 12-year-old girl, a girl, I say to you, arise. And all of a sudden, the incredible happened to that 12-year-old body. Her eyes began to open and that 12-year-old heart began to beat again. You were there. You saw that girl arise. You saw Jesus raise the dead. What's wrong with you, man? Don't we just want to fuss at Peter? We want to say, Peter, you were there at the Sea of Galilee when that storm came up and all of a sudden a figure appeared. Now, Lord, is that you? Is it really you? If it is, let me come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter, you're the one that got out of the boat. You're the one that walked on water as you walk on dry ground. What's wrong with you? You denied Jesus? You were there at the tomb of Lazarus when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the most incredible thing happened. A dead man arose. And Peter, you saw in the Garden of Gethsemane just moments ago when Jesus stooped down and picked up the ear of Malchus. And the most incredible thing happened. He put it on the head of Malchus, and instantly that ear was restored. Now, Peter, what's wrong with you? You saw all these miracles, and you were there. Weren't you there on the Mountain of Transfiguration? You were there with Moses and Elijah, and you heard the voice from God. In fact, you're the one that said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. You heard the voice of God. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter, you heard that voice. Why did you deny? We just want to fuss at Peter. And I'm a little disappointed in Peter, but maybe that was not God's response. Let's see how God responded to Peter. You know, it's Sunday morning, the tomb is empty. Jesus has died, he's been buried, and he's been raised. The women go looking for the body of Jesus, and the angel appears. And listen to what the angel says in Mark 16, verse 7. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. Here you will see him. This he said to you. Have you ever wondered why the angel singled out Peter? Why didn't the angel go tell his disciples and John? Or maybe go tell his disciples and James. Or go tell his disciples and Andrew. Or go tell his disciples and Philip. Why do you think the angel singled out Peter? Why Peter of all people? Now it's almost like the angel is saying, I want you to know that just because you failed, heaven does not believe that you're a failure. the women show up, you know, it's a Sunday morning, whom are you looking for? And the angel said, you're looking for Jesus, and he's not here, he's risen. Go tell his disciples, and it's all is as though the angel pauses and smiles and says, but especially tell Peter. Tell Peter that though he struck out, that he gets to bat again. Tell Peter though he struck out, he's still in the game. That's because just because he threw an incomplete pass doesn't mean he has to sit on the bench. Tell his disciples and Peter. Tell Peter just because he failed that he's not a flop. Tell Peter that just because he failed, that does not mean that he's a failure. Go ahead, tell his disciples, and especially tell Peter. You know, Peter was not a failure, was he? In fact, you realize that the Apostle Peter went on to be an elder in the Church of Christ. You know, most of us know elders in the brotherhood. Peter identified himself in 1 Peter 5:1 as one of the elders of the church. Imagine, if you will, that one of our elders appears on national TV. He curses and he swears. I don't know Jesus. Can you imagine? You know what we would do? We'd go tell that elder and say, brother, you need to step down. You need to resign and quit right now, wouldn't we? Imagine a brother in this church goes somewhere and publicly gets into a fight with somebody and curses and swears and says, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a Christian. The news media is there, and later during the news, he is seen and he's heard saying, I don't know Jesus Christ. We might say that brother needs to be disfellowshipped, wouldn't we? Can you imagine appointing that brother as an elder of our church a few years down the line? We remember what that brother did. You know, we're not going to ask him to be an elder of the church. And yet the Apostle Peter went on to be an elder in the Church of Christ. And then who preached the great sermon on the day of Pentecost? Who stood up before that group and said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up. And that's from Acts chapter 2. We've seen the resurrection. Who said that? Peter. And who preached to the Jews, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts chapter 2? What about the sermon in Acts 10? Cornelius and his family. All the relatives are there. Somebody shows up and they say, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Who preached that sermon and who baptized Cornelius? It was Peter. What about Acts 3, the lame man? You know, he's sitting there begging. Somebody passes by and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. It's in Acts chapter 3. Who said that? Who raised the lame man and enabled him to walk again? Well, it was Peter. And what about Acts chapter 9? Dorcas. She's dead. She was a good woman. She did a lot of good for a lot of people. Somebody goes to Dorcas and says, Dorcas, arise. And all of a sudden, the most incredible thing happened. Dorcas lives again. Who raised Dorcas from the dead? It was Peter. Who wrote the book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter? Who said that God left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, and who said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, and who wrote, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and who said, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'll tell you who said that. The one who denied Jesus said that. The Apostle Peter. Just because Peter failed does not mean that he was a failure. Now let's make an application. I want you to think about the most horrible sin that you've ever committed. You know, everybody think about the most painful, ugly sin in your life. Like Peter, just because you failed doesn't mean that you have to be a failure. You can turn your life around and accept the love and the commandments of Jesus. And there's an interesting part of this story that Luke includes in his gospel. Luke says that when Peter denied, cursed, and swore, Jesus turned and looked at him. It's not in the other accounts, but it is in Luke. When Jesus turned to look at Peter, it's as though Jesus is saying, Peter, I am so disappointed. But I want you to know, just because you failed, that doesn't mean you're going to be a failure. Think back to the early years of Paul's life. You know, he's probably one of the most harsh persecutors of Christians. But there's no telling how many people are going to be in heaven because of his work for the Lord. You know, all of us have sin in our lives. All of us have dark, ugly sides about us. And Jesus turns and looks at us with eyes of love and eyes of hope. You see, we can have the same forgiveness, though, given to Peter. His forgiveness is available for all who have obeyed the plan of salvation. And just because you failed, it doesn't mean you have to be a failure. Well, that ends our short lesson. We never end a lesson without first offering the invitation. If you've never obeyed the gospel, but you've heard the word and you believed it, you can come forward and repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in the Christ. If you've already taken those steps and you've sinned publicly, you may come forward, repent, and have a prayer on your behalf as we stand and sing invitation song.